Song. I'm glad we didn't have to sing it because I can't pick up a tune on a song like that. So, but it was very beautiful. Listen to it, read the words of it. We're going to go to the book of Numbers, Numbers 21 here pretty soon in case you want to look it up. But book of Numbers tells a very powerful story. It's the story of rebellion and forgiveness and mercy. It starts out with the Israelites complaining about wandering around in the wilderness. They don't like it. They didn't like the direction God was taking them. They felt like God was taking them out into the dry and barren desert to die. And they just got very frustrated. They turned against God and against God's leader who was going to take them to safety. So God, what did he do? He sent poisonous serpents into the camp to bite them and destroy them. The people that turned to God and asked for the forgiveness after that happened, and God in his mercy sent them rescue. You know, as a kid, I would read this section here. Made no sense to me at all. I thought, well, if God is this loving God, why is he sending snakes to kill them and bite them and hurt them and so that they're dying? And I just kind of took a literal view of what was being said here, and I didn't catch the bigger picture of what God was trying to show by this incident. So let's go to Numbers 21. We'll start there at verse 4. Numbers 21 and verse 4. Here it says, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses. And they said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. So here they had the miraculous manna that showed up every morning, but we detest this miserable food. So verse 6, then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. And it says, the people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake, put it on a pole. And then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. And Moses was instructed to make this snake that looked like the snake that had bitten these people and put it up high where it could be seen by people. You know, if the snake bit them, all they had to do to be healed was to look at it and they would live. But it doesn't seem to make sense when you look at it just from a human perspective. What killed them? What was hurting them? Snakes. How did they get healed from them? By looking at a snake attached on a pole. That didn't seem to make sense. Why would God do that? Why would he do that? And I remember thinking as a kid, boy, look at this. Isn't that worshiping an idol, sticking a snake up on a pole? That's like say very simplistic way of looking at what was taking place here and not really looking at it through the eyes of the New Testament and the eyes of Jesus when Jesus said, all of the Old Testament was written about me. So we have to think about this. So let's think about it. As I said, does it make sense? And I think it does make sense if we understand that sin is like the snake that they had there, the serpent in the wilderness. It can look good, but it also bites you, causes pain and suffering and death. Isn't that what God told the children or his children, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden? Don't eat of this one tree, because the day you eat of it, you will die. Death is a part of the consequences of sin. And I think the snake is representing sin. It's representing all the evil that humanity has accrued over the years by the sins that we have committed. So, as I say, it looks good, but it can bite you and cause you a lot of pain, suffering, death, because that's what, isn't it? The wages of sin is death. And as I've mentioned before, you probably get tired of me saying this, the physical Israelites were working out physically what God was going to do spiritually. They were kind of acting it out. And so here they did get death because of sin. Just like God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, Satan is the father of lies. He was represented by a snake in the garden. When Jesus came on the cross, he destroyed the power of the evil one. And I think that's important to understand because all our sin was hanged on a tree. Think about that. That's the way I think Paul puts it. Jesus took upon himself all of our sins when he was crucified. He broke the power of the devil, the power of the evil one, I think is the way Paul words it. And he says, if we're keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we will make it. You know, just like they had to look at the snake. You know, Jesus was placed on that cross. He that knew no sin became what? Became sin for us. The very thing that kills us has been hung on that cross in the form of Jesus. He became sin for us. The perfect sacrifice is there for us to see and to worship Jesus. But that snake on a pole was a symbol of the cross and the work that was done on the cross. And that was something I never even entered on my mind all those years ago when I was so confused about this. The sins of the whole world were hung up on that cross. They were destroyed by Jesus' perfect sacrifice. Just like the thing that was killing the Israelites, the snake was hung up on a pole. Well, Jesus himself was hung up that pole and became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. That those sins could be nailed to that cross and be left there, destroyed, gone completely. You know, think about what was happening in the camp of Israel. Put yourself in their place. The people were in rebellion against God and God's servant. In Jesus' day and in our day, the world was and is in rebellion against God and his servant Jesus. People are not into worshiping Jesus, especially. Their God, the people of Israel were plagued with serpents that would kill them if they bit them. People were dying or potentially dead because they were getting sick from being bitten by snakes. But God, again, had Moses hang up that snake. They looked at it so that it would live. It was high enough to be seen anywhere in camp. It was almost like you could walk through camp and get bitten seven times. As long as you kept your eye on that snake, you were okay. Almost seems too easy, doesn't it, that you look at a snake and the poison and venom of the live snake would be useless. It would be destroyed and negated just by looking at a snake. That doesn't seem possible, does it? In our modern scientific age, you know what happens when you get bit by a snake, by a serpent? The poison goes through your system and it can kill you, paralyze, kill very quickly, very painfully. But all they had to do was look at this snake that was up on the pole and they wouldn't die. The power of what the serpent was doing was negated. It was done. It was over with. That's what happens on the cross. The law showed us what sin is, and the power of sin, Paul says, is death. But believing in Jesus, we can have all of our sins taken away. The power of sin, death, is negated and destroyed. That power of sin is death, Paul says. And that gets negated and destroyed. Death is our enemy. It has been destroyed. Now, you wouldn't think, just by believing in Jesus, that all the sin, the evil, the horror, the everything that is what sin is could just be gone. But it is. It got nailed to that stake with Jesus. It's gone. Let's go to John chapter 3. John, the third chapter. And we're going to read here starting in verse 14. Remember, Jesus in John 3 here is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, was a teacher, a student of the law, someone who loved the law. And he had his mind beginning to open here. So Jesus knows that, and he begins to work with this man. And so he's talking to them. So we're going to jump right into the middle of the conversation here in verse 14. So he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. He said, just like the snake was lifted up in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Everyone that looked on that snake, the power of that venom disappeared. It was destroyed. It was gone. And they had life. They lived where they should have died. And the same thing with the cross. Everyone that looks at Jesus lives. Everyone that believes in him and has faith and trust in him lives and has eternal life and doesn't have to die. As I say, he's talking to Nicodemus. He's telling the scholar of the law some things that he has missed. He was a teacher, but he didn't understand exactly what was taking place here. He would have been very familiar with the story of the snake lifted up in the wilderness as a teacher of the law, and he understood what Jesus was referencing here. Let's go to verse 16, probably the most quoted verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus' perfect sacrifice destroyed sin and the power of sin, the death that sin brings down upon us. So God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes should have not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus didn't come to condemn, but to save. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. He says, whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because we all have sinned and we already are condemned to death. But if we can just believe in Jesus, he's died for everyone's sins. And he says, whoever believes in him, verse 18, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light is coming to the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil, because we're all wrapped up in sin. We were all walking in darkness. We were all dead. The walking dead, as we might say, based on all the zombie movies we hear about these days. That's what we were, the walking dead. We were alive, but dead. And so here, it almost, again, seems too simple, doesn't it? Just believe in Jesus, the Son of God. That's too easy. I thought that very thing when we were going through our renewed understanding of what the Bible was about and what the true purpose of what Jesus did was about. Yeah, the first thing you think is, well, that's just too easy. That's too simple. We got to repent in sackcloth and ashes. We got to beat ourselves. We got to work, do works. We got to try to clean ourselves up. We spent a whole week trying to get leaven out of our house, which represented sin. We wanted to put sin out ourselves. Well, kind of hard, isn't it? You can't. It takes Jesus to put sin out of your life. And then he says, as our president said, Greg Williams, in speaking of life, we also have to then turn around and live the way God wants us to live, not in the ways of sin anymore. Good things, positive things, the right things to do, the right way to live and to go. We have to believe in him. For God in his mercy and his love wants all the world to be saved. Isn't that what 1 Timothy 2 verses 3 and 4 say? That Christ would that all men be saved. That's his ultimate purpose. He would love every man to be saved. But you have to believe. You have to trust in him. You have to believe that will happen, just like the Israelites had to believe if they looked at that snake, they would be healed. I'm sure there were some that said, well, that's stupid. That's not going to do anything. And they died. But there were many who did, and they lived, just like those who look at Jesus and keep their eyes on him live. Because there is life. He is life. Paul talks about the need for Jesus and forgiveness that's found in him only. Let's go to, if we can, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Here it says, as for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Just like the people were dead when they were bitten by those serpents, which represented trespasses and sins. And those sins, that serpent brought about evil things, didn't it? Not good things. It brought about sickness and death because of the venom that was from that. And sometimes we don't think about the venom of evil that is sin and how it affects the lives of so many people. So he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and are the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He was at work in us as well. So he says in verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, because of God's great love for us, he says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. It is by grace that you have been saved. God raised up Jesus for us that we could be saved, have our sins taken away from us. For as what does the Bible say? As far as the east is from the west, it's one of the beautiful things about the King James Bible, the imagery, the word imagery that they use so often, just like the word pictures that we get from, though your sins be as scarlet, you shall be whiter than snow. So he said, being cleansed, all of that being taken away. But not only did God save us, he's also done more than that. He has lifted us up. There's more to that sacrifice than just saving us. He's lifted us up into a newness of life, into a relationship with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that's going to last forever. Look in verse 6 here now. Verse 5, he said, he's made us alive in Christ when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That you have been seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You have a place there now. Now, we're not physically there, but we have a place. We have been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's where our place is, with God, forever, in heavenly places with God, with Jesus, because we've been lifted up into these heavenly places. We've been given that relationship with God, our King, our Creator, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are in that sense in those heavenly realms with Jesus now. That's where our name is. That's where our place is. That's where our purpose is. He says, we have raised us with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works so that we can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So he says, we are God's handiwork. We're what God has done. He has cleansed us. He's taken away our sins, and he's covered us with his righteousness. We are his children. We are his family. In essence, when you look back at Israel, they came out of Egypt. They were a microcosm of what this whole world is like. They were in rebellion against God and his servant. They received the results of that rebellion. It brought about death upon them. And they turned and cried out to God, and God in his great mercy delivered them. It was simple. All they had to do was believe and look on that pole, that snake on the pole, and they would be saved. Just like all we have to do is look at Jesus, our Savior, who was hung on that pole, who is the creator of all. And yet he was willing to become human and die for us. And, we look at Jesus, who was hung on the stake, killed for us, just like the power of the serpent was destroyed, the power of sin and death that originates from the original serpent, Satan, has been destroyed. And by faith in the Son of God, we are given that blessing. We are given what God wanted us to have, life. But he didn't just save us, he lifted us up into a heavenly realm, adopted into the very family of God, made a part of what God is doing for eternity, sharing with God life and the whole eternity because of who God is and what he has done. All because of God's great love for us, all because of God's mercy for us. God wants us to be saved, and that's the end result of everything he wants. That's why he became one of us. That's why he was lifted up on the cross. That's why he died for us and destroyed sin and the one who has the power of sin and all of that death. God wants us to be saved in order that we could live with him for eternity. All it takes is faith, trust, belief. And that is the gift from God that he's given us. Seems too simple. How could looking at a snake get rid of physical venom and poison? It did. How can looking to Jesus in faith get rid of all of our sins, all of that venom and hatred and all of the things that have infused our lives for all those years? Because of what God did in Jesus, it's gone. It's negated. It's done. It's over with. It's past. You are free. And you have freedom in Christ. Because he has saved you and set you free from sin and from death. And given you life. And not just life, but life with him forever. Let's pray. Almighty God in heaven, thank you that we can have faith and trust in you, that we can believe in you, that we can know you, that we can have a relationship with you, and that you will lift us up and give us the blessings that we need. And so, Almighty God in heaven, we ask now that you would bless us and guide us. We ask now that you would inspire and lead us and encourage us as we go forth, knowing that we believe, we trust, we have faith, and that faith takes us through whatever pit or problem that we could ever face and brings us through that and up to all the way into heavenly places with you. Heavenly realms, we're there with you. And so, Almighty God, we give you grace, praise, honor, glory, and worship. And we do it in Jesus' holy and wonderful name. Amen.